concluded and you go home to be with the Lord, in 15 words or less, what do you think your motherhood will have been? That is, what type of testimony, if you could put it in 15 words or less, have you lived out before your family and before your Lord and before those around you? You know, there is nothing as powerful as that of motherhood. The late, great G. Campbell Morgan, who was a tremendous preacher in the last century, he preached all over the world, and he had four sons, and as his four sons were raised up, they also became preachers, and they was in a meeting one time, and someone was asking, which one of the Morgans is the best preacher? And one of the sons just looked at his dad and said, Mom, because mother was the best preacher. Evidently, she fleshed out everything that they learned in their life. And there is nothing like a godly mother. There's nothing like that mother that, leaves that godly legacy in your life. And those of you that are young mothers, sometimes you think, is it ever going to really pay off? Is it ever going to really matter? Absolutely. It will pay off. It'll pay off in wonderful dividends. But in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, I want to read one verse of Scripture because this one verse has captivated my heart, especially as we come to Mother's Day. We could read the entire passage. You know the story well. It's the story of Mary. Mary has been given a directive from the Lord God that she is going to bear the Christ child. Now, she's a very young woman. Some suggest that she's probably in her teens. She's not that old, and here she is. She has never been engaged to anyone. She's not been married, and yet before, in the providence of God's timing, he gives her an announcement through an angel that she is going to have a baby, and that baby is going to be the Christ, and that Christ is going to save his people from their sins. But when you get down to the closing part of chapter 1 into verse 38, there is a statement that Mary says before the Lord God. It is probably the single greatest statement of submission and surrender of a woman before the Lord God in all the New Testament and probably in all the Bible. I want you to look with me at just what she says whenever it comes to time that she's supposed to have a baby and she's supposed to conceive, and listen to her testimony unto the Lord God. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. In other words, Mary said to the Lord God, Lord God, it doesn't matter what happens in life. It doesn't what happens in the future. It matter what happened in the future. It doesn't matter. I don't know what the future holds for my life. And she didn't. She didn't know all that she was going to experience in the next few months, next few weeks for that matter. She knew she was going to bear the Christ child, and she knew that there was going to be a lot of opposition because, after all, she was engaged to be married to a man, and here she was going to bear the Son of God, the Son of God who would come into the world to save you and me from our sins. And yet behind his birth, you find a woman that is totally submissive unto the Lord. And literally, the way that it's put in the original language, she says it like this. Lord, I'm your slave. I'm your slave girl. Whatever you want out of my life, that's what goes. What an epitaph, what a testimony of a young woman to the Lord God. What a testimony of a mother-to-be before the God of the universe. What ultimate submission can be given. Let me ask you a question, mothers, when it comes to this Mother's Day. What would the Father say about the degree of your submission to Him, to His will, and to His agenda? What has been played out in the life of your children, maybe just have one, maybe a child, or children, what has been played out in your life before their very eyes? What have your children seen evidence of? What have your children watched? And what have they seen? And what has been before them as they look at your life? You know, no doubt much has been said about the life of Mary and much, you know, but now we know the rest of the story. We know what was going on. But in that day and time, they did not have the rest of the Bible. In that day and time, they did not understand, and Mary, to a great degree, did not understand. But here you find a heart of a godly woman. Here you find a woman whose heart was sold out to the Lord God. Would the Father be able to say about every mother in this fellowship, your heart is sold out to God? Would he be able to say that of your mothering? Dads, would he be able to say that of your fathering? What would the father say about your parenting? You know, whenever you think about the heart of a godly mother, nobody epitomizes it like Mary. Nobody really shows you the heart of a godly mother like this woman. And so if you'll take your outlines and also your Bible, follow along with me. Because if you and I are going to understand what a godly mother is and what the heart of a godly mother is in the sight of God, that mother that has a wonderful legacy behind her life, we need to listen carefully to these 15 or less than 15 words of Mary as she says, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." You know, there's a lot of women today and a lot of mothers today who are wondering, what in the world is wrong with my family? What in the world is wrong with my children? But I submit to you that if these principles that I share with you this morning are found in the life of any mother, if they're found in the life of any woman, and she implements these into her life, she will have a lasting legacy. She will have a lasting legacy, and there will be something about her life that stands not just for time, but your children, your children's children, and your great-grandchildren will remember the impact of your life. Well, first of all, a godly mother is submissive to the God that created her. One of the most interesting things you find whenever you look at Mary, you first find a young woman who's pure, who's innocent, who's wholesome, but here you find in her life, here's what she says to the Lord. Behold, in other words, I want everyone to know I am here for you, Father. I want everyone to know when they come across my life, I am here for the agenda of God. I am born for the agenda of God. I live for the agenda of God. And if necessary, I will die for the agenda of God. You know, she's a mother that, you know, through the passing of time, there'll be a lot of things that she could not understand and she would not know. And here's a mother that she couldn't rationalize why the God of the universe would come to her. Why would God come to her to bear the Christ child? Why would God pick her out of the entire universe of mothers, so to speak, in that day and time? But he did. God handpicked Mary, and he chose to use her life. You know, she didn't rationalize away her obedience. And you, when you think of all the mothers that would come in mankind, you know, here's her simple and brief testimony. You know, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Lord, I'm your slave. I don't know if you understand what it means to be a slave, but I had the privilege to talk, and many of you, we've had him in revival meeting. Dr. Lincoln Bingham shares the testimony of his grandparents. He said, "Benny, a lot of people have no idea what being a slave is, but I can tell you because my grandfather was a slave." He said, "My grandfather was sold on the auction block in Dallas, Texas at the age of 11. He said he was pulled from his mother's arms, never to see his mother again, only to hear her screams as he was taken from Dallas, Texas. He was loaded, and he was brought to Kentucky." He said, "You don't realize, but a slave don't have any rights. A slave only has responsibilities." And here is Mary saying in the very presence of God, "God, I am your slave. I know I have no right to my body. My body belongs to you. My body belongs to the God who created me. My body belongs to the sovereign of the universe." Could you say that about the body that the Father has given you? You see, in the life of Mary, here's what she knew. She knew she was a slave. She knew she had no rights to her life. She knew that she only had a responsibility. She didn't have any rights because she knew that coming into this world, it was a gift of God. You know, you and I don't know a great deal of details, but she was a very intelligent woman. She knew a great deal about the Old Testament. She was not just a casual 16 or 17 or 15, 14-year-old. She was a very intellectual young lady who knew very well the Old Testament and knew what getting pregnant in that day and time could have possibly meant to her life. But she was submissive to whatever the Father says. It was important for her to follow the agenda of God when it comes to obedience in your life, mothers. Can God say that you live the life of a servant, of a slave? Now, we don't like to think about that word slave until you think about the master. You know, nothing wrong with being a slave when you've got a wonderful master. One of the former presidents, I think it was Andrew Jackson, if you'll ever visit the Hermitage, beside Andrew Jackson's place of burial, there is his slave that had been served him all throughout his early life, and the slave was to be buried beside him because he had given care to the president. He'd given care to that precious leader of this country. And the president made sure that he was to be buried right beside him because he cared for him. He took care of him. He was his slave until the man died. Mary said, made it very clear, I am your handmaid, Father. I belong to you. Whatever you say about me, whatever you want me to do, that is what goes. There is something about a mother who is given to the agenda of God. That mother will never be forgotten. Your children will rise and call you blessed. Your children will become known. Your children will become famous. Your children will become prominent. Why? Because there is something powerful about a godly mother. Abraham Lincoln, when he was nominated as president, he said, I've got to go tell a precious little lady that I was nominated. She'll want to hear about this. Talking about his mother. Dwight D. Eisenhower said, everything I learned on the knees of my mother. You know, there's something powerful. You see, moms, whenever you don't live a life of obedience to God, Mary said, Lord, whatever your will is, do you understand that the will of God for her could have possibly been death? You see, the Bible makes it very clear that if you was found out to be guilty of adultery or fornication, that meant death for you and death for the man. She was told of the Lord, you're going to conceive, you're going to have a child, you're going to give his name Jesus, for he's going to be great, going to be called the Son of the Highest, and he shall save his people from their sins. And Mary said, behold, I'm yours. How powerful would our world be changed? Think about this for a moment. What would happen in our world today if believing mothers all over the world just stopped and looked to heaven and said, Lord God, I am yours. Whatever you want in my family, that's what goes. There would be something radical happen across this land. There would be something radical take place in home after home after home after home. Susan Wesley, the mother of John Wesley, Charles Wesley, she had guidelines for every one of their children to go by. And it was numbered 1 to 10. And 1, there would be absolutely no arguing. They would not and could not argue with one another. 2, they would always refer to their family member by brother or by sister. And she continually gave the list. One that I like, it's not on the list, but she told her children, she said, when you see the apron over my head, you don't bother mother. For that is mother's alone time with God. Think about it. When you've got about 17 kids, you can't get away too far. All you do is just throw the apron over your head. She told her children, said, when the apron's over my head. Now, some of you, I know you say, I wish I had an apron to throw over my head through some of the difficulties in life. But listen, there is something powerful. Here is a woman. She is submissive to the agenda of God. Can the Father say that of your mothering? You see, the reality about it is in her life, she didn't understand everything that was going to come or go, but she was obedient. She was sensitive to God. And you see, there's no joy in life like that of doing the will of God that created us. You see, here's what she set in motion. She didn't dread the will of God. She didn't begrudge the will of God. She said, I'm yours. Behold, Lord, I'm yours. You see, there is something about that mother who does the will of God genuinely and seriously and sensitively and obediently. You see, there's enough who do it begrudgingly. But there is something about that woman who does it obediently. Well, second of all, a godly mother is sold out to the Lord God. Now, you and I know that Mary was called and she would bear the Christ child, and it would be what seemed to be a ridiculous scenario. We'd call it ridiculous in our day and time. You know, but here's what she knew. My life belongs to God. Whatever he wants to do with my life, he has the right to do. And you see, when you think about it, for Mary to follow the will of God, she had to be completely sold out to him. Now, what does that mean? If God asks you to sell out, would you? If God asks you to release your children into his hands, possibly never to see them on this side of eternity, would you? If God called you to release your children to some mission field, mothers, could you do that? There are only God knows the many, many young children or the many adult children who they've not been released by their parents. You can't go too far away from me. I can't bear that. You'll break your mother's heart. There is nothing that is so grieving to the God of the universe as that mother who will not release her children into the hands of God. That doesn't give her children into the hands of a holy father to take care of them and to guide them. And you see, you know, it didn't matter what was going to become of Mary's life. She didn't know everything. She didn't know what was going to take place, but here's what she did know. Mary knew that her obedience could cost her death. You see, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 22, 23, and 24, if a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in a city and lie with her, then shall they bring both out to the gate, that city, and you shall stone them with the stones that they die. Mary was so obedient that she was obedient to the point of death. What do your children say about your obedience to God? Mothers, what would your children, if I could ask your children about your obedience, what would they say? If I said, you know God is listening, is your mom completely yielded to God? Have you seen that in your life? Now, I know that's touchy. But listen, we're all leaving this place someday, aren't we? We're all going to leave here. And, you know, there's something powerful about that mother that releases. You say, does that mean she's giving me up? No, that doesn't mean she's giving you up. But here's what she's doing. She's releasing you into the hands of a father who loves you and will only guide you into his best. You see, when you give your life over to him in a life of obedience, there's no way to describe the manifold blessings that's going to come. You can't obey God and not get paid back. And sometimes mothers wonder, well, what's wrong with my life? Because you've not released your child in obedience. You've not given your child over to the Lord God. And listen, when you want your children for yourself, there's nothing that is any more selfish. Now, I say this in love, but listen to me very carefully. The height of selfishness is they're my children. I want them to do what I want them to do. I gave birth to them. They belong to me. I should have a say-so what they do with their life. Now, listen to me very carefully. Who gave them to you? The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. I never will forget a story my dear mother shared with me years ago. She said, Benny, a few years ago, there was a man in this community. Said he was to be used of the Lord, but said his mom wouldn't give him away. And said I think she said he was even called to preach, but his mother just could not give him away. Worked on the farm, farming and using the tractor and all that. She said, one day it happened. It was a horrible situation. She said, that man was farming on his tractor, and all of a sudden that tractor turned over and killed that precious man. She said, I've thought many times what that mother would not release that son. That mother wouldn't release that son to follow the will of God. That mother wouldn't release that son to walk in. And here was a mother that the Lord gave. And giving and taking is the Lord's business. And you see, there's something about that life that is submissive to him. Is it all going to be easy? Are you going to be able to understand everything? No. Are you going to be able to figure everything out? No. But I'll tell you what will happen. Blessing, 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 blessing will follow your life. Your children will raise up. Listen, there was no mother that went through struggle like the Old Testament mother of Hannah. Hannah, she gave up Samuel, and she took that little boy probably between the ages of 3 and 5. She took him up to the temple. She didn't go back and get him. She took him up to the temple, and she would leave Samuel there, and there he would stay as he would grow up. He would be the first prophet and the first priest of the nation of Israel. He would be around to inaugurate King Saul. He would be around to inaugurate King David. And the entire landscape of people would eventually talk about this young man by the name of Samuel. What a great man of God he was. But he did so because he had a mother that released him into the hands of God. There is something powerful about saying, honey, I give you over to the hands of God because he knows best for your life. There's something powerful about that type of mothering. You know why? Because there's not a lot of it. We want our children to be around for us in our old age. And I have to confess, I hope my child's not too far away, but if she is, that's between her and the Lord. After all, she might have to pick out her mother's nursing home and my nursing home someday. Hope she picks out a good one. But at any rate, but listen, there is nothing like, and here is a mother, here's a young mother, you know, she's probably in her teens. You know, Mary in her teens, now think about it. Mary's not 40 or 50 or 30. Mary's probably not in her 20s, but she's a teenager sold out to the Lord. Here she is, a teenager that is probably going to bear the Christ child, and she says, Lord God, my body is your body. I'm sold out to you. Imagine what God would do with young people with young lives that had that degree of sold outness. Not only young lives, but adult lives as well. Listen, that was her life. She was she lived a life, that, I mean, she was sold out. Third, a godly mother, a heart of a godly mother, is full of trust. You know, one of the struggles that we have is trust. You know, but why shouldn't you trust in a Lord who's given you life and going to guide you into his best? You know, Mary gave her life and all her being over to the hand of the Lord. Mary gave herself to the Lord God, and she knew that God was faithful to 1,000 generations. Now, listen to me very carefully. Is God faithful to 1,000 generations? Amen? Will he be faithful to you? Yes, he will. Listen, you release your child into the hands of God, and he'll be faithful to your life. You'll watch what he does in your life. You'll watch what he does in your children. The greatest way to raise godly children is that mother to live and walk godly and to behave godly, and that dad to do the same. You know, Mary knew the Old Testament. She knew that Deuteronomy said obedience always brings blessing. She knew what the psalmist said, that God was faithful to 1,000 generations. Mary learned that this God who called her, though she couldn't see a lot of things, listen, she knew that he would see her through. And that's the same way with us. He'll see us through. Sometimes we feel like he won't do it, but he will. He'll guide you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But sometimes, you know, we feel like that's not for us. That's for the person next door. Listen, Mary was a woman of deep devotion, deep commitment. Why? Because she was not going to squelch the directives of God. She was going to do what he said, the way he said, how he said, and she's going to leave the consequences to him. What a wonderful mother. Do you ever wonder what Joseph and Simeon and the other family, how they responded to her? You see, Jesus was her firstborn, but it wasn't the only one that she had. Jesus was born to her as the Christ, but the other children were by Joseph. Can you imagine what they saw in that mother? How they responded to her, how they loved her, because she loved them. You see, sometimes, mothers, listen to me very carefully. Sometimes we wonder why our children treat us the way they do, when the real answer is they've seen what we've done. They've seen how we've acted. They've seen what we've talked about. They've seen how we've lived in front of them. But you know who I also think about? Mary also had a mother too, didn't she? Wouldn't you like to know all that she was involved, I mean, how she lived her life? She lived a life of, you know, before her own daughter, Mary. Well, not only that, look at number four. A mother acts according to the word of God. Now, think about it a minute. If you're going to be a mother, the heart of a godly mother, you can't have it without trusting God. You know, the heart of a loving husband and a loving wife is you've got to build a trust relationship. You've got to trust. You've got to learn to trust one another. And I think about a time in Charlotte in my life when she had to trust me. She didn't have any idea what was going on. I'll never forget it. It's probably our first year of marriage. She wasn't a mother yet, but anyway, men, you ever found out you did those things you just shouldn't have done? You just shouldn't have done it. I did it. Anyway, I was leaving work one day, and there's somebody that's broken down on the side of the road, and I thought, well, my wife will know I'm safe and sound. I don't need to let her know. But anyway, got off at work about 5, and of course, I was gone for about 2.5, maybe 3 hours. In the meantime, she was calling work and calling the state police and calling the hospital to see if I'd wrecked. One phone call would have done it all. Learn a lesson, men. But anyway, this man who was needing a tow and he's going to have his car towed to Williamsburg, and he said, I'll take it to the jail, but I'm not going to leave without my money. I said, okay, I'll run to the house and I'll get you some money and I'll pay you. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, I left work at 5, got home probably about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. First words were in the door, honey, I need $20. I'm going to jail. And she looked at me funny because her dad was there, her hot meal was cooked, And I thought, you know what? I'm just glad she learned to love me and trust me. But that night may have been a little bit different scenario. But anyway, listen, there has to be that trust. There has to be that loving trust. When it comes to our relationship with the Father, can you honestly say, Lord, I trust you? If you trust him, do you release your children into his hands? If you really trust him, do you release your entire family into his care? You see, one of the things in the life of Mary, listen, not only was she a godly mother and she lived a trusting relationship, but she acted according to the word of God. Listen, the Bible says we are bought with a price. Amen? Do you act like a slave? If you're bought, that means you don't belong to you. If you are bought with a price, that means somebody else owns your life. If you are bought with a price, do you live as though you're owned by the Lord? Mary lived as though she was owned by the Lord God, and here's why. She didn't squelch. She didn't balk. She was just a precious servant and soldier of God. You know what a soldier does? A soldier follows directives. A soldier don't get in the midst of it and balk and squawk and all of that and say, you know what, I want to go home. I don't like the heat of the battle today. Can you imagine where our land would be if we had men like that? We've had men and women of integrity who've given the ultimate price in giving their life. And in the heat of the battle, they stood firm and they were faithful to the finish, even if it meant the finish of their earthly life. Here was a woman that was faithful to the Lord God. She was a servant of God. She was a slave of God. And she was a soldier to the Lord God because she knew she was not her own. She was bought with a price. Do you live as though you're bought by the Lord? You see, if he is your Lord, if he is your boss, if you're saved, you belong to him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Is it going to be easy? No. There's going to be some times that you just don't understand. I'm sure Mary had a lot of interesting and hard moments when people would say, yeah, I know, you're lying right through your teeth. Somebody's got you, and they may have said it in their vernacular, in their way of, yeah, you're pregnant by somebody. How would you like for your character to be attacked? How would you like for your integrity to be attacked? But here's what she knew. I'm doing what the Lord says. I'm doing what the Father says. I'm doing what the God that created me said to do. Listen, when everything was said and done, and her life would be over, her testimony and the legacy of her life is found in Luke 1:38. She was the handmaid of the Lord. She was the slave of the Lord. Whatever the Lord wanted for her life. And she was remembered by her life. You know, there is no doubt that Mary is the greatest mother because she gave birth to Christ. That is the Christ child when he came in human flesh from heaven to you and me. You know, her attitude was one of complete humble submission. But you know what? You live your life of godliness before your children, and they'll remember you. They may become prominent. They may become well-known in this land. They'll never forget you. The greatest president, Abraham Lincoln, along with George Washington, both of them, if you've ever read very much about them, they attribute their life to their mothers. In his last will and testament, a very well-known man writes these words. He said, looking forward to the time when my earthly career will end, I desire to set forth at the beginning of this will, as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I also desire to bear witness to the fact that throughout my life, in which there were unusual joys and sorrows, I have been wonderfully sustained by my faith in God through Jesus Christ. This legacy was left me by my consecrated mother, a woman of strong faith, and to it I attribute any success I have attained. The next time you pick up a Heinz ketchup bottle, that's the testimony of Henry Heinz. as he was getting ready to leave this world. Everything that he became, he said, I leave to my godly mother. Mothers, in 15 words or less, what has been your impact? Can you say like Mary, I'm the handmaid of God? Would you be willing to commit your mothering? What would happen if a mother, you say, well, I can't be Mary. No, you'll never, it'll be, but you can have the heart of Mary. Do you know you can have the heart of Mary? You can have the spirit of Mary. Lord, I'm your handmaid. Be it unto me according to your word. Where is your heart? Where is your spirit? Not only mothers, dads. Where is your heart? Someday we're going to stand in the presence of God. Someday he's going to call us into accountability. Someday we'll give full account.